Praise God. Please open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 4 this morning. The title of the message is Portrait of a Spiritual Father. Amen. I was thinking about the message today, and one of the things that a pastor or preacher, speaker ought to always ask himself is, after I've preached this message or shared this information, what am I hoping that those who hear it will do? And so sometimes that all gets lost in a sermon or a message. But what this message today is really about the spiritual father, the kind of father that I want to be, the kind of father that any Christian man would want to be, the kind of man that a young girl would want to marry, and the kind of father that children would dream about. So we're going to take a message from the Apostle Paul, who is declaring something about himself to the Corinthian church. Now, the background of the passage is this, that the church at Corinth, coming from a pagan background, but experiencing a proliferation of spiritual gifts, all of a sudden, great things were happening there. But they had begun to forget maybe the apostles' part in their life. And they had many people who were eager to come to Corinth. It was a hotbed of activity back in those days. And a lot of the Christian leaders that were up and coming were going to Corinth and having a ministry, speaking and preaching. And they had all kinds of teachers and instructors there that were coming and making their appearances. The Apostle Paul knew that they needed something that was even deeper than teaching. And I don't know if you've thought about this very much, but the Bible says that knowledge puffeth up, but love does what? It builds up. And so you need teaching. You need good instruction, but you always need something else that's added to good teaching or good instruction. And the Apostle Paul is putting in that ingredient here. So let's begin reading in verse 6, to a church that is kind of splintered, with some of them saying, I like Apollos, and others saying, well, I'm of Paul, and others saying, well, I like this man, and so forth. And so Paul is preaching to that particular problem here, and here's what he says. In verse 6, he says, and these things, brothers, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that not one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who makes you to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now, if you did receive it, then why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? And now he's speaking with tongue-in-cheek here in verse 8. Now you're full. Now you're rich. Now you've reigned as kings without us. And I would to God that you did reign, but that we also might reign with you. And then he gets into the one of the, he opens his heart up about his particular life and place in the lives of the churches that he helped to find, fall. He says, for I think that God has set forth us apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. Ye are honorable, but we're despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Now I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Well, let's pause and go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Paul, would you lead us in this prayer and ask God to speak to us about being a spiritual father? Yes, amen. Amen. One of the extreme difficulties in our nation that we may not pay that much attention to, but it's caused havoc in the morality of our country, in the strength of our own power as a nation, and that is the absence of fathers in our land. I'm told the latest statistics that a little over half of boys and girls that go to bed in America now that are children will go to bed without a father being in the home. Can you imagine that? And that the absentee father from the family has created a hole that is almost unfillable. And so what we learn from this and what we want to do is that we as men want to become the best fathers that we can. And not only fathers to our own children, but we need to become fathers to others who are fatherless. And we need to portray and build into our life the kind of a man, the kind of a father that God really wants us to be, the kind of a father that the Apostle Paul was. As he wrote to this church, he knew they didn't really need more good instructors, or they didn't really need better preachers. They did not even need a greater degree of spiritual gifts in the church. They were filled up with all of that. But what they were lacking was the heart of a father looking over them, watching them, loving them, helping them. So I thought, I'm going to share with you a brief sermon. I know that I have a brief sermon somewhere to share. And maybe today will be the day. But I want to share with you some of the thoughts I've had so we can kind of get a picture for us men, what kind of father we should be, and also for all of us. Men and women alike have attributes that all of us need to desire to emulate and want to be like. And so even though you may not be a man today listening to this, there are attributes here that you need in your life as well. So let's look at these one by one. I begin the sermon with a statement that the willingness of a father to make personal sacrifices for the benefit of their children, this is a spiritual father, all of these assumptions, to me, is one of the clearest pictures of man created in the image of God. It's a picture of how God loves us, who's been a father to all of us, who has not looked upon our benefits that can come back to him, but who has learned and desires it just out of the heart, is willing to be a sacrificial provider and a father for his children. So let's look at the first thing that I see in Paul's writings about his relationship to this church. A father possesses a God-given desire for their kids to be beyond their own status in life. Let me see your hands. To those of you that heard your father or mother say to you, I want better for you than we have. Look at that. I mean, that's at the heart of every father that they're willing and desirous that their kids would have more than they had, that their kids would have it better than they had. Not only have a desire to do that, but they have an ability and a willingness to sacrifice. That's amazing to me to make that come true. I remember Mom and Dad, you know, in our early years, and there was one very, when this picture came up of a father and four sons, I heard someone say, this looks like the mafia here, you know. knew it was. Well, that brought back a lot of memories of Mom and Dad, both of them working together in their sacrifice. Dad he worked at the Singer Company. He wore khakis all the time. And he would pick us up from school. We didn't have lunch money to go to school. We'd stand out on the side of the road waiting for Dad to hurry up in his little 54 Plymouth car, swoop by there at the corner, pick us up during the lunch hour, drive 3 or 4 miles out the country where Mother had this great meal cooked, better than anything we'd have got at the lunchroom, for sure, and whiz us back up there. And I remember Dad, he would be wet with sweat from the top of his head down to his pants when he lived. That khaki shirt there, dripping with sweat. I never really thought anything about the sacrifices Mom and Dad made for us. But looking back and seeing his face today, and I guess Lynn offered that picture of Dad this morning in the portrayal that we saw, it really brought back memories to me to realize how much sacrifice we have been given to us by all of our parents. And that's the way a father is. He's willing to sacrifice for his kids. And the second thing that I gather from Paul's writings here is fathers don't mind taking the last place. The Apostle Paul says here, you know, I think that us apostles, that God has placed us last. He did not mean last in importance, nor last in their authority, but he meant last in their receiving things that others seemed to have. The church was just doing great. The church was having a great time, but the apostle felt like he was last. Well, being last place is no problem for a father. He's willing to take that place. I know a father that I'm thinking about who, when they had Sunday dinner, he would always say that he liked the wings of the chicken and the neck. And I was grateful every time I ate there because I didn't like those things as much as I did the breast. And so he would always pick those to eat for himself. And but after the kids kind of got grown up and we were grown and we might eat there again, I noticed he liked breast pretty good too. But he was willing to be in the last place all those years for his kids' sake. And in many ways, the money, the budget of the family income is for a father who's a spiritual father, it's going to be swayed toward his kids. And he's willing to be last himself. A third thing I see here in Paul's writings is that fathers are so willing to be hungry if their kids could be full. There's a wonderful scene in the Passion of Christ where Joseph and Mary are en route down to Bethlehem to be registered. And they have almost nothing. They have such little food. And on the way there, Mary, as he's sharing some of the food that he's brought, and she has been given the lion's share of that. And she says, now you take some of this. You need this too because you're carrying all this weight. And he says, oh, no, I have plenty here. I'll have this. And so he gets Mary taken care of. And then he's got just a few little leaves left out of what the food they brought. And I thought, well, he'll be eating that. But instead he goes to the donkey and gives that to the donkey. Do you remember that, in that scene? And then he lays down, maybe with this much, a little bit of a leaf, and lays down to eat that. In our own church, a few months ago, we were doing a marriage retreat, parenting retreat, a talk, and there was a number of young fathers there. And one of them, my admiration just really grew for him. He was explaining that in his job he was away from work quite a bit. He hated that, but it gave him a lot of time to be on the road to reflect. But then he said something else. He said, we're having such a great financial squeeze. He said, and when I'm eating, driving and away from home, I don't recognize that I'm hungry that much, and so I can get by on just a little bit of food. And he said, and that helps out our budget. And he said, I notice when I come back, it seems like we spend a lot of money, so if I'm gone, at least our family is doing better financially. And boy, I thought, what a wonderful, a wonderful attribute of a guy, because he's a father, wants to sacrifice. At his, if he's hungry, that's little matter. That his kids would be full, that's what meant a lot. So the Apostle Paul is speaking from this standpoint of being a father that doesn't have to be in first place all the time, doesn't have to be the big dog all the time. They can be in last place. They're the ones who's willing to be hungry if their kids can be fed. And he goes on to say that a father's labor, he labored with his own hands in his tent-making vocation. And a father's labor is a very small price for the smile and delight on the face of his kids. How many of you, when you've got a new bicycle for your kids, and maybe it's the first time they learn to ride it. I love these pictures, and I've seen some, and you know you see the smile as the father's going back there by, and maybe this was some of you guys that I was seeing on Facebook, but the little kid was out there with a big smile on their face, and they were riding that thing. And it was a precious sight, but what was even more precious to me was the father's face that was back behind. And the admiration and the pride and the joy as they looked on and saw their son take it off on that bicycle. That, to me, that was a precious sight there, because it speaks of that father's delight that he has when he sees that he's provided something, done something that his kids have really, really liked. Now, the father's example is the greatest gift that he can leave his children. Now, I know that you dads, a lot of times you think that if you make enough money and you pack it in enough and you spend all the time that you can in developing your career and so forth, that that would be the best thing you can do. And I want to tell you, that is a good thing to do, to be a hard worker and to think about providing. But that will not be the greatest gift that you leave your kids. The greatest gift that you leave them will be your example and the time that you spent with them. And I want to say about three things about your example. Show you the power of this. Like, fathers don't often realize that their kids glory in them, that their kids look at them all the time for approval. They look and see, and they're measuring your value system constantly. If you look, for example, if you're a young man and you have young, impressionable kids, and they see you admire a very sensual, sexy woman, the little girl in her mind will think, these are the kind of girls dad likes, and that's the kind of girl I'll be. And they think that automatically. The little boy has the other side of the same coin, and he sees dad. This is what he thinks. You see, the dad hasn't said a word. The dad hasn't done any teaching one way or the other, but by the power of observation of the kids, the way that you act, the things that you do, those are the real teaching opportunities that you have in life. These are the examples that you leave them. Listen to what the Bible says about a father. A father's steps are like a roadmap to heaven for their kids. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, but the path of the just is like a shining light that shines more and more unto that perfect day. What our children need to see about us in our life, that in our, as young men, young fathers, they need to see us providing for them. They need to see us being careful for them and guiding them. But as we grow older and older, they need to see that really we have a whole lot more going for us than just working and providing and making a living. We're on a pathway that should be shining more clear and more clear, even to that perfect day, so they realize that if they follow our steps, those steps are going to lead them to heaven. Those steps are going to carry them there. So when you are laying down the track of your value about God, they'll see it in your church attendance. They'll register it in how you speak and talk. It will register to them every time you open a Bible or whether you don't. You're learning and teaching your kids and setting a pathway for them to go down in your life. So the steps of a good spiritual father is going to lead them straight to heaven. The second thing that I want to say about your example is the instruction of a father who clearly leads his family will produce a long life of happiness and peace. In the Proverbs, we read this passage, "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." You know, we need to use every opportunity to bring Scripture down to a practical level in the lives of our kids. We need to have times when we read the Bible to them, but we need to explain to them what the Scriptures mean, because what they will actually do is lengthen the days of your life and lengthen the years of your life. So when we're raising our children, a father's instruction, teaching them to obey the gospel, to obey the Scriptures, is added by added length to their days. I take it to mean it makes your days more effective. How many of you have you ever been working and said, there's not enough hours in the day to get done what I need to get done? But if you only had a longer day, maybe you can get it done. And what he's saying is, if you begin to follow God, though your 24 hours a day won't increase, what you're able to get done in that period will. And God is able to bless you with effectiveness in your life and to give you a longer life. And then the third thing that I wanted to say about that is that a father's faithfulness to God can create an ongoing blessing for his children. Now, I want you to think about this, because all of us know that providing for an education, you know, is something that we ought to attempt to do and do our best to provide that, to provide clothing and those kind of things and food and all of that so important. But after you're gone, what then? After you're not there anymore, what will happen to your kids? Well, let me tell you something. That if a father leads the kind of life that a spiritual father will lead, there will be a blessing that accrues to his kids long after he's gone. Listen to this. For the father's sake. What God does is a man or woman who is faithful to God, God will bless their children, even if their children don't deserve a blessing. He will bless them for the father's sake. Now, we hope and we want our children to follow God so that they're following God for the same reason that we're following God, and they will create their own blessing in that. But even if they don't, it's possible for children, grandchildren, even down through three or four generations to be blessed just because out of virtue of God's appreciation and gratitude for the way that you lived your life. Listen to what the Scripture says concerning this. The incident is Abraham has died. Isaac is on his own now. And we're looking into a little bit of his travelings in Genesis 26, 23 through 25. Speaking of Isaac, the Bible says, "And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him that same night. And he said, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you. And I will bless you and multiply your seed." Why? "For my servant Abraham's sake." And he built it an altar there, and he called upon the name of the Lord, and he pinched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. The point I'm making is one that's not made in isolation, but in other places, that God will bless children just for the sake of their fathers. He will bless them, and those blessings will come upon them. Years ago, I got a verse of Scripture. I don't know how long ago it's been. It's been quite a while ago. But boy, when it came to me, I knew that God was saying that this was for me and my kids. And the verse is this, and maybe you've claimed this verse for yourself. But the verse said something like this: "I will increase you more and more, you and your children." And I believe that's a verse of Scripture that a father or a mother would want to take into their heart, so that not only they might receive a blessing in life, but it'd be a blessing that would be extended generations down through life. Now, a few weeks ago, I became part of a letter, and I think it may be one of the best letters I've ever heard that speaks of the attributes of a father or a grandfather, how a son can feel, a grandson can feel toward their father or grandfather. This was written a number of years ago, and the one who received this asked me to withhold his name from it. But let me read it to you and just share it. Listen to all that's in this. And we as men could aspire to leave this kind of impression on our kids and our grandkids. The letter begins this way. As the holidays are fast approaching, I find myself thinking of friends and family, most of which I will not see. And I think how lucky I am to be blessed with so many people that care for me and my family. As with the last several years, I'm not going to make it to see all of you. And all I can do is make plans and hope for the best, sooner rather than later. I've been thinking a lot of you lately. Why? I'm not sure. But I have this overwhelming need to write this letter for some time. So here at 1 o'clock in the morning, exhausted from another day of being a daddy and unable to sleep because I feel I can no longer put off telling you what is in my thoughts. My life has been one of ups and downs, and probably like most everyone else in the world, but when I think back on my childhood, my mind doesn't go directly towards my parents, baseball, or anything else. For some reason, you are always in the first and best memories I have as a child. I can remember the feeling I had as a little kid at Mama's and Papa's. It was a feeling of love and safety and friendship. I've always cherished the time we spent together. It has just taken me 15 years to realize just how much it meant to me. As you well know, my parents split when I was a little boy, and it was devastating. I can still to this day remember the feeling I had when I was told my mom and dad were getting a divorce. It was a time of confusion, fear, and sadness for me. But whenever I was with you, I felt none of that. All the trips, fishing, were not just trips to me. They were a getaway from all of that. And we always seemed to have the best time. It was like the rest of the world did not exist. It was just you and me. And I didn't care if we caught 100 fish or none. I thought back then that I just loved to fish, but now I know it wasn't the fishing at all. It was you. You made me feel important and loved at a time when I felt neither. You taught me how to cook and fish. You taught me what it is like to be a good man that people respect. You taught me to be giving and understanding, compassionate, and most important of all, whether you know it or not, you taught me how to be a good father. Now, I've grown up, and I have a family of my own, and I'm proud of my career. I love my wife and my children as much as a man can love anything. And I have a wonderful future ahead. All of these things are in some way related to what you did for me as my grandfather. Well, I can go on and on about what an unbelievable person you are and how you've affected the lives of so many in a positive way, but there's no need. Everyone that knows you understands what a special person you are. So I will leave you with just a few things you are to me. You are a man that grew up in time much tougher than I'll ever see. You are a veteran that fought to give my family the freedom we have today, well before any of us were even here. You are as kind and loving a man that I have ever met. Yet you will not be pushed around. You're wise, frugal, but you're giving. You are a role model for me to strive to emulate, but most important, you are my papa. No matter how much time goes by, I'll always remember what you meant to me and how you helped me to make me who I am. I love you, and I thank you for giving to me the gifts that you've given. What a wonderful letter. Amen. Now, I want to end this time with you this way. This is a challenge to parents, to fathers and grandfathers. And like I said, over half of our nation are losing out to some degree. So when you can be a father to someone else, then be a father to them. Take the opportunity, grasp it, seize it, to do for them what maybe they didn't get done earlier. Now, for the rest of us who want to honor our parents and do something back for them, here's the thing. These two things, this is all any father would ever really want. And that's your love, honor, and respect. And one other thing, your forgiveness when we've dropped the ball, when we've not done all we could. That's what we need as fathers. Let's bow our heads together here in prayer. We're going to dedicate these last few moments of this service for someone that may be here without Christ. Jesus taught us to pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven. Because a father who aspires to be all that he could be for God and for his children can only learn that from the Heavenly Father who has loved us. He died, sent his Son to die for us when we were not lovely at all. When there was nothing we can add back, he died, sacrificed his life for us. That's what the cross was all about. We don't come to God through any self-effort. We can't get there by climbing a ladder or by good works. We can only come at the foot of the cross, humbly, repenting of our sins, and putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you are there today, and that's what you want to do, you can do it so simply this way. Just pray a prayer like this, and you can word this prayer from your own heart as I pray it. Dear Heavenly Father, today I repent of my sins. Today I ask you to come into my heart. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I make him the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me today. If you prayed that prayer this morning, would you lift your hands up in the air? Is anyone here praying that prayer? Yeah. God bless you today. Dads, have a great day. Brother Lynn, would you offer our closing prayer, please?